Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. It is that hour of power, Sunday night, and it's time for the Hearts to Hearts podcast, The Messenger. This is co-producer. I'm sitting in for The Messenger tonight without his knowledge that we're having a podcast. We were not going to have a show tonight, but sometimes I think as we motivate and uplift each other, I guess that's my opportunity now to speak on our podcast and hopefully bring a message to you tonight, a word from God. In fact, tonight I'd like to use, as we go back to the trained religious way, I like to use as a topic, God asked me to tell you, you fill in the blank. Yes, I'm going to use as a speaking point tonight, God asked me to tell you. And one of the things that I'd like to start with is God asked me to ask you, what is it that you seek? By participating in organized religion and following rules that were set by man who really have no true concept. I mean, they have a concept, but no true real belief in the actual awesomeness of the Spirit. Because if they did, there's no way they could continue to convince you to give them your money, your time, so they can do the good deed and receive the immediate reward from God, and then that reward will trickle down to you. Think about the concept. I mean, it's an excellent marketing scheme, but I offer you, and when I say I, the ministry, and I hate to even give it a name of ministry, the lifestyle, the new introduction that this podcast and the Hodge family, excuse me, not the Hodge family, Brother Ron Dyer and Brother Ken are trying to introduce to the world is a concept that says God loves you and there is nothing you can do about it. And I mean that. It doesn't matter. No matter what you do, God loves you. Now, let us not confuse no matter what you do, God loves you with there is no price to pay for your actions. Never said that. And depending on how much I love you, it's going to depend on what your consequence is going to be. You know, on one hand, I talk about consequences versus good or bad. Because if we understand that there's going to be a consequence for our actions, but the whole good and bad opposite ends of the spectrum constant analysis isn't even real. There is no good and bad. There are just decisions. Some decisions is going to bring you, will bring you a consequence that may be a little bitter to the taste. Does it make it a bad decision? I mean, if you understand on a universal concept, the awesomeness of the Spirit that dwells inside of each and every one of us. I don't quite understand why so many ministries won't focus on the fact that you are God manifested in the person. You see, I believe that concept is so awesome that long ago somebody decided that it was so awesome that man wouldn't fully understand or believe it. But I ask you, any person of any religion, of any sect, any group, any following, if there is a supreme being in your world or in your realm, if that supreme being takes his spirit from you, if that means that you no longer exist, how can you not understand that that supreme being dwells in you, so therefore you yourself are supreme because you carry that being inside of you? Does that make sense? And when you understand that you already have everything that you could possibly look for, there is nothing you can want. There is nothing you should want because you have it all. And I know we want to narrow it right down to, well, I don't have an airplane. I don't have a Mercedes Benz. That's not part of your all. If you understand, we can want for much bigger and better things. But again, I'm sorry. We can want for bigger and better things. But again, if we understand what it is that that decides or defines true happiness, that those are the things that we're going to have. But God asked me to ask you a question, though. And God asked me to ask you, or God asked me to tell you, I'm sorry, that there is no reason for you to look for what you already have. God asked me to tell you that if you stop and just took an introspective look at yourself, now, never mind somebody saying you're egotistical. You take an introspective look at yourself and fully come into grip, or as a comedian would say, get in touch with your star player. Life and everything you know about life will take on a whole different meaning. Happiness, you know, happiness is something that's right within grasp. But we keep changing or redefining what makes us happy. But it's within grasp. But God asked me to tell you that if it is in your heart to do a kind act to another, then perform that act. It doesn't matter who witnesses the act. If you are taking an action based upon a real spirit, a real moment, a real connecting, defined presence you felt from the spirit that dwells inside of you, if that's what you felt, then that's what you do. And sometimes if you move from the spirit or be moved by the spirit, it doesn't matter reciprocity. It doesn't matter if anybody ever repays you or does a kind thing back to you, because that had nothing to do with the reason you performed your act. God asked me to tell you that that's God moving inside of you. If you'll notice, when I speak, when my big brother leaves the microphone unattended from time to time, I try to fill the shoes. But when I speak, you will very rarely hear me reference the Bible in most of my speakings. But I'm going to, just for a point of reference here. I don't mention the Bible, and I don't see the real relevance of the Bible when it comes to, if you are a student of the Bible, it is pretty much a yes or no concept of learning or accepting. It is either you accept every word or you accept no words. And because that is the choice that I've made, then I choose to accept no word. And let me tell you why. And that does not change my relationship with the Creator. You see, that's cemented. I understand that I will always have that relationship, and I cherish that relationship. I understand that being in the know of the spirit that dwells inside of me, in a lot of cases, will give me an unfair advantage. And when I say give me an unfair advantage, it would give you the same unfair advantage. When you know you have the superior team, you may not practice as hard, if that makes sense. But God asked me to tell you that He is a spirit. And when I say He, I apologize again as I change my vernacular when I speak about the awesomeness of the Creator. I ask that you, when I say he in my spiritual context, is masculine and feminine until I make that correction. But the awesomeness of God is something that everyone has. And if everyone paid attention to it overnight, that which could not even be looked at yesterday could be fixed, shining brand new tomorrow, if we all tapped in to the spirit within. God asked me to tell you that you will never understand who you are or whose you are because you study and you apply science to something that cannot be explained. Did you understand that? From nothing came the word. From nothing, when I say the word, the Creator, not a word, a spirit, an entity that set everything in motion. So if the Creator was here before science was thought about, how can you define what was here way before you came into existence? So again, I don't put a lot of I don't put a lot of faith in the Bible as the inestimable gift from God to man. I respect it as a book of compassion. I respect it as a book or writings or teachings of life lessons. Because if it was an inestimable gift, as some would like to say, maybe the roadmap would have been laid out maybe a little more reader-friendly. Because there is, I don't think it's a secret why, if you read the Bible, it jumps from era to era. It's not intended for you to follow. Okay, when they put the Bible together, it was meant as a literary composition that people would read, and it would render control because they speak of such things in the book called the Bible. God asked me to tell you that sometimes you have to read and search within you for an understanding. And if you search your soul and your soul comes up with that is an authentic document from the Creator, then I would advise you to read that document and use it as a blueprint. If you search your soul and that's what you come up with. But if you search your soul and you come up with, I have to continue on this road because this is the only road I've ever been shown, even though it doesn't hold weight in a lot of instances. I'm comfortable with this road. In order for me to go on a different road would mean I would probably alienate myself from some family members. And sometimes when you think of when you get introduced to the truth, sometimes you don't want to accept the truth, or you can't accept the truth, because openly accepting the truth will damage relationships or friendships that you currently have. And I say to those in that predicament, I would tell my friend, if I can listen to you tell me a story of an immaculate birth, if I can listen to you tell me about a man who touched wine, excuse me, turned water into wine, if I can listen to you tell me about a man who fed over 5,000 with the same amount of food that he collected at the end of the feeding, if I can listen to you tell me such stories, then how about you engage me and allow me to tell you something about a spirit that's inside of you, that you could do much greater things than the things you speak about someone else doing. Yes, that would be powerful, and you'd have to understand that that's my belief. See, I believe that that God is a spirit that dwells in everyone. I think if we were to ask the question of if God took his spirit from you, where would you be? I think the songwriters have even written a song about it. If God took his spirit from you, where would you be? You'd be nowhere. And if we can all understand that, then why is it so hard for us to all understand that we are godly people? We are, when I say godly, I don't mean God acting. I mean God being. If God's spirit keeps me upright, then that means God's spirit is part of me. He's housed in this temple. So how can I not be anything but one with the Creator? In that concept, people just refuse to accept that. But God asked me to tell you that it's okay. It's okay that you understand that concept, and it's okay that you commune within yourself to talk to the spirit that resides in you. See, it's okay, because that's what the spirit's there for. When you were taught, let me say this, when you were taught that the Spirit of God will never leave you, that's what that means. It will never leave you. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter where you go. Again, this is why God is omnipresent. It doesn't matter where you go, God's there, because he's in you. Does that make sense? And the same God that's in me is in the same, it's the same God that's in some young man in China. It's the same God that's in some young man in Africa. I'm sorry, in some person in China or some person in Africa. It is the same God. All we have to do, and I do mean all we have to do, because it is that simple, is just coming to the understanding that you are great. You are magnificent. There is none greater than you, because you are endowed with a creator inside of you who dwells inside of you. And I could say this forever, because I need you to understand that, because as we progress, and we're going to continue to progress in what we call an awakening. You may call it a movement or religious movement, but we call it an awakening. To people trying to get you to understand that when God looks at me and Jesus standing side by side, when he says, come to me, my son, He's talking to both of us. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And this is one of those junctures that God also asked me to tell you that listen to what the message is. Because my message says, I don't believe that God had to take man form. God asked me to tell you to listen to that message just for a second and see if it makes sense to you. I mean, because again, we take something that can't really be explained. You try to figure out God. No, that's impossible to do. So what we do is based on how that spirit affects the individual, we begin to express it. Some express it in Islam. Some express it in Catholicism. Some in Judaism. Some in Christianity. Well, I am expressing my newfound wisdom or knowledge, and it doesn't have a name. It's called life. And all you have to do is live. Now, again, God asked me to tell you that just live your life. You figure out what it is your life is, and then you live it to the best. It doesn't matter to me what it might be. Once you figure out this is my life, then you live your life to the fullest. And if you make a decision that's going to bring about consequences that you're going to be held accountable for, then so be it. Does that make sense? Does that not sound more like a lifestyle? And I know some might think that I'm saying if robbing and stealing and things that violate common law, I'm advocating for that, then I'm not advocating for that. But what I'm saying is in this game of life, if that's what you feel you want to do, then that's what you do, and you be good at it. And when what you feel like you wanted to do affects the community or it violates law and they have to incarcerate you, well, see, now that's that consequence for the action you decided to take, if that makes sense to you. Now, again, I'm still not going to say it was a good decision or a bad decision. I'm going to say that decision came with a consequence that maybe now you will rethink in the future. God asked me to tell you that you don't have to worry so much about organized meetings. You don't have to ever worry about giving anything to him. And I know this might touch the tithing the tithing industry, because I'm not going to say portion of a church, the tithing industry a little different. But God gives me nothing that I need to give him a cut back off. Like, I don't have to give God a kickback. You see, again, now we're just playing silly games with each other. Now, some people, when I speak about it's not necessary, and it's really not necessary for me to give God anything, but I'm going to mentally train you that 10% of what it is he allowed you to have, you owe back to him. No, let's not give back to him. You owe back to him. Listen, folks, if the Creator blessed you with $1 million, then the Creator wanted you to have $1 million. He did not intend, it is not intended that you give anything to that higher power. Do you not understand that? There is nothing you could give the Creator that he don't already have. Again, that the Spirit does not already have. It is never necessary for you to give anything to God. And I really don't care what teaching that goes against. It is like people want you to understand or to think that you're here to praise God. God needs not your praise. If God wanted praise, again, because I'm in tune, I'm in touch with the awesomeness. If God asked me to tell you that if the Spirit needed praising, he could put together billions of individuals, of creatures, of life forms that could do nothing but praise him. They would have no job except praise him, constant praise. Do you not understand that? It's not necessary for us as people to walk around praying to walk around with organized prayer and praising God. Now, again, I'm not saying you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. I'm simply saying to you, it is not necessary. Now, everybody likes to get a thank you. When you go to work all week, you do the job that you're paid to do. But when that boss or that coworker reaches over or leans over and says, "Hey, man, nice job, good day's work," even though that plus $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee, but to hear that, that felt awesome. So all I'm saying is you can give praise, but understand it is not necessary for you to give praise. God asked me to tell you that if you live your life, that is the only way. That is the only way you show praise to the Creator, because that is, as per the ministry that we teach or we educate you on, that is your only purpose in life, and that is to live until that expires, and then we move to the next phase. And if that don't make sense, then I don't know what would make sense. If you understand that, again, if you do what people call sinning by you going to a building, talking to a gentleman, calling himself some religious title, you could actually just stay right where you are in your car and have that talk with God, the Spirit. So when you go in and you talk to the priest, or you hear, or someone hears your confession, all they really hear is you talking to the Creator. But you feel more comfortable talking to someone that you can see. But you are speaking out loud to the Creator, and that is how your blessings or your praise or your miracles come to you. Hey, listen, this is co-producer. I attempted tonight to share a talk with you and inform you or make you aware of what God asked me to tell you. So I hope you enjoy the message tonight. We're here every Sunday night with a word from God to help you understand that you are divine, you are special, and you don't need any intercessor to get you to the Creator. No one. All you need to do is understand that what you seek, you already have. Appreciate that. Learn to understand that. Learn to appreciate that. And watch how much better your life is going to be. When you get focused on the supreme being that dwells inside of you, your life will just get better. Hey, this is co-producer on the podcast, The Messenger. I hope you've enjoyed it tonight. Talk to you next week.